Are you using those six core headline structures that are going to make sure that your content is clickworthy? Well, you'll find out today and a lot more in terms of writing strong headlines. So stay tuned. Welcome to Emma Gibbons Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does three incredibly powerful things. One, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. Two, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And three, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long-term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. We're going to start with this very often quoted stat, which is that 8 out of 10 people will read your headline, and only 2 out of 10 people, so 2 out of those 8, will actually go on to read the content, which is a shocking stat when you consider that this is something that copywriters need to be aware of. If you're not a copywriter, meaning you just don't have the same background, like years of experience, that formal training or informal training, then it naturally brings up the question, well, if only 2 out of 10 people read on from a copywriter's headline, what are the chances that they're reading on what I write? So we're going to make sure that you have not only the base level of knowledge that copywriters will get, but also that you know some of the best practices that I'm still teaching copywriters to this day. So that way you are 100% in the know and you're able to make sure that the people who need you see an awesome headline and are compelled to keep reading so they can learn about the incredible value that you can give them. So let's dive in. We're going to start with what headlines are meant to do, which is to grab attention. And this is the core beginning of many, many good copywriting formulas out there. So it is, attention is the A in AIDA, which is that gold standard copywriting formula. And if you haven't learned that yet, I have a whole YouTube video about it that you can watch right here. And it's also the first step in my updated version of AIDA that is focused more on the nuances in a 21st century mind and a more compassionate journey. But still, Armada is my copywriting formula, and that first A is attention, because that is the key. We need to grab their attention in order for them to ever even consider reading what we have put together for them, right? We need to grab their attention first. I think it's just a pretty much obvious fact. So those six core structures that we as copywriters use in headlines are all about grabbing attention, and they speak to the ways that the human mind is triggered to focus, right? So we're talking about things like specifics, we're talking about emotions, urgency, questions, so that we're naturally compelled to find an answer or answer it ourselves. So you're gonna see those threads throughout the six examples that I'm about to give you right now. Okay, so the first structure that you're gonna wanna use in headlines is questions. Just ask a question, because we kind of already hinted at it, right? People are going to have their curiosity piqued and want to keep reading to find the answer to the question. Or if you ask them a direct question like, do you, have you, are you, etc., then they're going to be nodding their head, wondering, well, have I? Depending on what it is that you're hinting at. Or they're going to be saying, no, I can't believe other people think that, really? And then they're going to go on to read. So that's kind of the summary of why questions can be really effective. But we're going to talk a little bit later about the idea of an open loop as well. Like, we're opening a loop and then we want to close it with that information. So open a question, we want to close the question and provide satisfaction, which can only come from reading on. So we're going to talk in detail about that a little bit later in the video. Structure two for really compelling headlines is specifics. We need especially numbers to be really, really specific about specifics. The reason that this tends to work really well is that it's promising really compact value, right? If we're saying 5 tips or top 10 destinations, we have this immediate association in our mind with past articles that have given really dense value. But also, we know that we're gonna be able to walk away with something tangible. We're gonna be able to say, I know 10 places that are you know, affordable. You can travel for under $50 a day. And that makes people feel like, okay, this is going to be worth my investment of time, but also it's not going to take too much time because they've distilled it into 5, 10, et cetera, steps. Another way that we might use specific numbers is, and this is one of the reasons why articles where people talk about how they made, you know, $1 million are kind of, ugh, again. And on the other hand, if you say something like, the funny trick that made me $3,701 in one day, which is already kind of insane, but at the same time, when you break it down into a really specific number like that, it just adds a little bit of credibility. So like, let's say I wasn't giving you a completely insane example. Let's say that it was how I'm making $3,212 a day with my blog. That makes it sound like they probably have looked at their stats and they're actually able to say that they're making 3,000, whatever the number was that I gave. It just adds credibility. Whereas if you said, you know, I make $10,000 a day on my blog, they're rounding. Automatically, you know they're rounding, right? And that also means, well, what are they rounding from? Are they, isn't this it every day that they make $10,000? Like it just, it gives a little bit of, how accurate is that? Whereas if you get a really specific number, even to the decimal points, you will inherently make someone believe you a little bit more. And hopefully it's because you're giving them a real number, whether it's dollar amounts or not, right? So it just boosts that credibility factor, further enhancing the benefit of getting really specific with your numbers. All right, the third structure is one you're probably super aware of, which is the how-to structure. We're breaking things down into steps. There's something similar in terms of compared to the specifics example, you're still going to be giving them probably numbered steps, and also we often mix it, like 5 steps, etc. But the key is that it's going to be easy to take this away and apply. So this isn't theoretical. This isn't like I'm going to read a lot of what this person thinks about this sort of thing. It's very abstract. It's like the university theory classes compared to what we call in Canada college, which is like you're actually getting to the point and you're practicing a skill set, right? So when you give someone the how-to promise or 7 steps to this, you're making a promise that you are going to be able to deliver a start to finish. This is exactly what you need to know to get this result. I have distilled it for you. You're going to find all the information you need right here. It's 100% worth your time and investment, and that you're going to feel awesome on the other side. So that's why it's so popular, right? How-tos are so incredibly popular because of this promise, this implicit promise that you're making to your viewer or your reader. And actually, that kind of slip of the tongue makes me think of the fact that headlines, we always talk about writing on this channel, of course, but headlines are going to be used in so many types of content, right? You're going to be using headlines when you're creating blog posts, but you'll also do that for YouTube videos. Like my title of my YouTube video is a headline as well, right? Your podcast title is a headline. So these same structures are going to be really, really useful, whatever type of content it is that you're making. All right, the 4th structure is one that I don't use all that often myself. That's because it's really narrow. It's basically you ask the question, so you're pulling on another piece, but we say, who else? You know, who else will come out at 2 a.m.? Maybe to like fix your car or something like that. I don't know what this imaginary brand is, but automatically you're differentiating yourself by that. And the promise on the other side is usually something really compelling. So who else plus something really, really compelling. 5, emotions. All right, so this one has a few layers to it, as emotions usually do, like peeling back an onion. So I break emotions into 2 camps, not from like a psychological, like I don't have that kind of background, but when it comes to talking about emotions in a way that's helpful for copywriting, I really do think of them as pleasure emotions and displeasure or even pain to a certain degree emotions. And as you might imagine or be aware of because you are a consumer, the displeasure, copy that tries to trigger elements of displeasure is the kind of stuff that usually feels pretty yucky and manipulative. So when I'm talking about displeasure, I'm talking about copy that's trying to create fear, like fear of missing out, for example, us versus them mentalities, because I'm telling you, these work. I mean, we see that people can really easily put themselves against another, but triggering that on purpose, you can see why it just doesn't feel good, right? It feels manipulative. That's why I just don't use it, or I use it very thoughtfully before employing this. So fear, us versus them, Schadenfreude, which is the German word that we use in English sometimes to just talk about taking pleasure out of somebody else's pain or misfortune. So I've heard other people, the example I hear in copywriting circles a lot is the like social media presence of dog shaming, which I actually think is awful. Like, I know the dog doesn't know that they're being shamed by holding like a poster in front of them about the bad thing they did, but it makes me feel sad. And that's just in terms of a dog that doesn't know that they're being shamed, right? So Schadenfreude, though, however, has an audience, right? You can see that from something like that. And actually, speaking of shame, that's the other one that I commonly put in this category. It's that really, really common intention of marketers, unfortunately, to trigger a sense of shame. Like, oh, you don't have this, or oh, you know, you don't have perfectly clear skin, or oh, your teeth kind of yellow in that photo. Like, shame. Make them feel shame. It's the way that they say it that does it. You can still, if the person knows or they feel like their teeth look yellow and they want it to be resolved, you can speak to that and reflect that to them, but you don't have to try and make them feel bad about it so that they buy your product. Like, this is traditional. This is what people have long used, and you will find still to this day there are a lot of people who do this, but you don't need to. There are other powerful emotions that are more focusing on at least just acknowledging the pain that someone feels and reflecting it to them, which is something I incorporate into my copywriting formula. It's an armada, it's reflection. So just holding up a mirror, and you can actually speak to the pleasure that they want to have as well. And I don't think you want to dive too straight into that, right? Because you want to meet people where they are. And if they're dissatisfied, you want to acknowledge that, but you don't have to force a negative emotion that they don't feel is essentially the point I am trying to make. So pleasure emotions would be things like joy and humor and nostalgia, like the, you know, did you watch Lizzie McGuire when you were a kid? Those kinds of things where they might talk about like signs that you were a Lizzie McGuire fan when in the early 2000s, something like that, right? Nostalgia. And also I would consider like a sense of ease as being a really desirable, pleasurable emotion. So this is a good opportunity to actually talk about clickbait headlines, because one of those sense of ease kind of promises often comes in the form of, you know, you're on a website and you see this banner ad that is clearly clickbait, because you know they always have the same graphics and it's like someone's belly protruding and like then all of a sudden it disappears. And one weird trick, right? That is basically, without saying, one easy trick. It's also the word trick itself, right, is speaking to a sense of ease. Like, oh, if I just have this piece of information, then I'm going to be able to get to that promise or that pleasure on the other side without having to put too much effort into it, without having to spend too much time, which of course is what we all kind of want, right? So of course that's going to speak to people. And you might have one weird trick or one simple tip for something, something, something that's a promise. And if that's the case, use that, because that is such a desirable kind of headline. People want to feel that, but you have to deliver on it. And that's where clickbait becomes a problem, is that they just don't deliver. All they want is the click. And so on the other end, I always think it's so funny, where if they promise like something with a number 6 in it, right? Like you'll get 6 of this kind of category of tips. And then it's something like 4. Like, it's just really obvious. Like, you can't even deliver on the number of tips you're promising. And I know you would never ever do that, but just be really, really conscious that people will become skeptical if you're promising them a lot of ease and that pleasurable emotion without delivering on it. So if it's going to take a lot of work to learn how to do something, it might be worth it. And you have a lot of headline structures to choose from, but don't try and promise them it's going to be easy. Like, it doesn't line up, and that can really reduce trust. So be careful about the ease emotion, or the ease kind of piece of pleasure, but really lean into that side of things as well, because I think the mark of a really strong copywriter is to be able to meet them where they are, you know, if they're experiencing unpleasant emotions, and show them that you understand and not have them linger in that and move them towards pleasure, right? Towards the promise that your product or service can offer. And the fact that they can convincingly make a sale off of that shows me that they're way more skillful and also a more empathetic marketer than someone who is taking the easy way out, essentially, which is drawing on negative emotions and our negative cognitive bias. So That is my kind of spiel on emotions. I'd love to know what you think. Would you actually add any other emotions to the displeasure or the pleasure categories? It would be so incredibly interesting to hear your perspective on this too. All right, and the sixth structure is urgency. So this could also be fear of missing out, but I don't like that, as we just talked in depth about. So urgency when it's authentic, meaning maybe you are doing a live class or a live masterclass and it's on Tuesday. So they have to sign up by, I don't know, Monday night to be able to have the workbook that they need to participate on Tuesday. So then sell on the fact that, well, you know, honestly, it's ending for a reason. Sign up now, right? That urgency. And they're going to miss it if it's live too, for example, or the recording is only going to be up for 3 days, that sort of thing. Because maybe genuinely you need to have space. It's all about like telling the truth, basically, when you're trying to speak to urgency. I think this other piece of urgency is really underutilized and definitely undertaught to emerging copywriters and entrepreneurs who are learning about copywriting, which is this idea of urgency being like timely information as well. So if there's a really, this is kind of like news articles, right? Where they talk about new study says coffee does this terrible thing to your body or this wonderful thing to your body. So you know it changes every few months. That experience of like new study says, that makes people want to read because it's something new. They want to be the first to know, right? Especially if it's connected to something that they want or that they don't want, which is always what we're talking to in copywriting. And especially when you are going to be sharing content about a new best practice, a new tool for the ideal client, that will make them not only see that, oh, it's new, I want to learn about it, but, oh, it's new, I need to learn about it because I want to be ahead of the curve, right? I want to take this opportunity to make sure I'm on par with my peers or even a step ahead of them just so that I can stand out in the market and do a better job for my clients. So if you can add that layer in, then that is really motivating as well. All right, so now that we've gone through the six structures, there are also some common best practices that you're gonna want to know before you go ahead and start writing these headlines. So the first one is also before you go ahead and start writing these headlines, think about the headline first, think about the direction or the topic of this social media post, blog article, etc. But then write the social media post, the blog article, etc. before you come back and finalize the headline. Because you want to make sure, like we've talked about, you want to make sure that what you deliver in the article is, or the piece of text, is congruent to the promise you're making in the headline. You might realize that you thought you had 7 tips, but actually it's more like 10. And you just want to make sure, of course, it would be so easy to go back and edit 7 versus 10. But when you do this practice of writing first, you'll realize that there are even bigger changes that you're going to want to make your headline anyway. So you might as well wait until the end so your headline is the most powerful and most honest that it can be. The next best practice is, especially now as you're starting to use these structures, perhaps for the first time, is test them, right? So try out headlines in all of these different categories. Try them out in a few different places, like the first line of text on Instagram and the subject line of your emails and the title of your YouTube videos. And you'll be able to see how these are performing, particularly emails and things like YouTube, because you're going to be able to see how many people clicked through. So when we were talking at the beginning of this video as to like 8 out of 10 people will read your headline, only 2 out of 10 people will click on it, you'll actually be able to get stats around this and see, is mine performing well, at par, or is it even surpassing it? Because you will have real winning headlines at a certain point. And then you know the ones that win, those are the structures you're going to want to use over and over and over again, of course, with different content, so that you can keep speaking that language of your ideal audience. It resonates with them, so use it. You're using it for a reason. Now, that being said, be open to continuing experimentation. You're never going to be finished with experimenting to speak your ideal client's language. And this is even true because language changes and what is popular on the internet changes, as we all know. So just be open to continued experimentation and don't fall into literally repeating the same structure headline over and over and over again, because people will get tired and then people will also not be sure if they've read it before. We don't want any confusion. So we want to make sure that still our headlines are distinct. Another really good best practice is to keep an eye out for headlines. Look at news articles and how they structure their headlines, the ones that you found compelling enough to go and read. Look at the way that sites like Upworthy or BuzzFeed, especially BuzzFeed, the way that they structure their headlines, because you will see some really commonality. Like, you're going to see numbers And anything that really speaks to nostalgia, often on places like BuzzFeed. And that'll be able to give you some ideas. And you can actually keep like a note in your phone or email yourself, put a Google Doc together, whatever works for you, where you kind of keep track of these really awesome headlines that grab your attention. And you can start to kind of swap out words here and there to match what your content is. And you can kind of let their experimentation help you along a little bit. Another best practice is something we hinted at earlier with the questions structure. So we want to remember that we are opening a loop. A good headline opens a loop, which is the Zeigarnik effect. The idea that the brain focuses more on incomplete tasks than complete ones. So we're using this to our advantage, and we are asking questions, piquing curiosity, starting to evoke emotions like nostalgia that we really like to settle into as people. And the fastest way for this open loop to be closed is with the content that's sitting right in front of them. So it's kind of making a promise of, ooh, you're going to get an answer here, or, you know, you're going to be able to feel this way in a moment's time. Just read the content on the other side. So it really does encourage that final click through from seeing the headline to actually reading the article, the blog post, the content in whatever form it may be. Our next best practice is to use identity markers in your headlines. And so when I say identity markers, this is something you'll see me do a lot, where I give you the title of a YouTube video. Let's say it's something like 4 facts about copywriting that entrepreneurs need to know, right? I inject that word entrepreneur to differentiate the content that I'm creating from all the other copywriting content out there. Because I know that there are so many different YouTube channels that are focused on teaching other copywriters how to write copy. Mine is, of course, it could be useful for them, for other copywriters, and I have taught other copywriters before, but who I'm really focusing on is the entrepreneur who wants to learn how to write copy themselves. So that is a really useful tool where you can just inject one of their self-identifying identity markers to help them say, oh yeah, this is relevant to me. Yes, I'm going to read it. This best practice is our second last one and the shortest one, which is to try and aim to write shorter headlines. And you can definitely play with length, right? The same way that you're going to be playing with this structure seems to be really popular in my audience, and this one, not so much, right? You can see, but ultimately you'll probably discover that the slightly shorter ones, not necessarily mini ones, but ones that are, you know, concise, that those tend to perform better. So when you can, try and make your headline more concise. All right, the last best practice and always the most important one is to put the ideal customer, the ideal reader first. Answer the question in your headline, what's in it for them, right? So that they know, oh, this is going to be worthwhile. I'm going to learn a tip. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to feel this way. I'm going to, etc. You have that answer built in, and most of these structures help you automatically build in what's in it for me kind of thing. And another good way of making sure that you're addressing the ideal client in your headline is to try and use the word you whenever you can. This is tends to be easier, in my opinion, with questions, but you can also find ways of inserting the word you into headlines to help them realize that, hey, this is relevant to me. They're writing this for me. And they may not think that consciously, but they might think, well, that's silly. I know that there's a gazillion people out there that could be reading this blog post, but that doesn't matter. It's really getting to them on that subconscious level. Like, I'm asking you a question. I'm opening the loop for you in your brain. Do you want this, right? There's so much going on in that structure alone. So that's the easiest thing you can probably do, is try and insert the word you, and it's probably the most powerful one, in my opinion. All right, so this was a dense video. We talked about the importance of headlines, 6 really awesome structures that you can start using today that are going to put you on par with professional copywriters, and to some extent, when you start to incorporate those best practices we covered too, potentially beyond the average copywriter in terms of how many people read your headlines and click through to your full content so they can get to know you, get to like you, and trust you so that they will ultimately say yes to buying something from you when you put that kind of request in front of them. So, speaking of that topic, if you aren't totally sure about the difference between content writing and copywriting, content writing is largely all those blog posts, and then the copywriting is that sales email that goes out after they've read them all to say yes. Well, okay, let's send you over to this video where we talk about the 4 differences entrepreneurs need to know about copywriting and content writing. All right, I will see you again soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Givens Content and Copy. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, let's make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Givens Writer. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. See you next week for another episode of Emma Givens Content and Copy.